Today is Christ the King Day, the last day of the Christian year. The Christian year begins with Advent as we prepare ourselves for the Christ child coming again. And then it walks right through Jesus' life through the year. That we come to the temptations, we come the baptism, the temptations. We come to Easter, to Pentecost. We spend some time seeing Jesus minister. And then we end our Christian year with recognizing that Christ is the King. And that's where we are today. So listen to these words. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 33 and down to verse 34. Once again, Luke chapter 23. Starting in verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Passage that maybe we need to spend more time looking at. A passage that maybe we need to spend some time just sitting at the foot of the cross as it happens. As Baptists, we talk about bringing people to the cross and bringing them to the foot of the cross. But we don't spend a whole lot of time talking about what happened on the cross. For you see, on the cross, on this day, we celebrate Jesus Christ as a living, or as a loving, graceful, and merciful God. Amen? We celebrate Jesus Christ as a loving, graceful, and merciful King. What an incredible thing. Do you realize how much God loves you? And I can even say it this way. Do you realize how much God loves you in spite of yourself and who you are? And God loves you. I know the wrong things I've done. I know the wrong ways that I've walked. I know the wrong ways that I've treated people. I know the bad things that I've thought and said. I know the horrible things that I've done in my life. And God said what? "I still love you. And I'm not asking you to get your life right first. Oh, what a wonderful thing, isn't that? Because the truth is, as I read the scriptures, we could never get our life right anyway without Jesus Christ. It can't happen. There's a lot of people out there searching for ways for it to happen. There's a lot of people out there that saying, I've found my way, without finding Jesus Christ. Without finding a God that loves them so deeply, so powerfully, a God that is so graceful and so merciful. You know the difference, don't you? I pray that you do. I've said it enough times. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. That's grace. That's the easiest way to define grace. Getting what you don't deserve. And mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Isn't it funny how people in this world want justice? They want people to get what they deserve. But you don't want that for yourself, do you? You want it for other people. You know, they did wrong and they should get this because they did wrong. But for yourself, you want God to be merciful and not get you what you really do deserve. A couple of weeks, some many parents will be talking about kids not living right throughout the year and they're going to get a sack of rotten potatoes or a bag of coal. That's all they're going to get. Well, I don't know about you, but a bag of coal might be a nice thing today, huh? A loving, graceful, and merciful King that died for us. Should we not celebrate that fact? That Jesus Christ is the King of all kings. There is no other king above him. He is the King. Amen? What a wonderful thing. And here on the cross, when so much more could go on and so much could have happened, Jesus Christ went to the cross as a king, willingly giving his life for our sins. You see, Scripture tells us that because we've sinned, there's a price. For the wages of sin are death. The wages of sin are death. Romans 6:23. And those who have sinned deserve death and death only. But Jesus Christ took that death upon himself so that we don't have to. Now, does that mean we won't physically die? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that now death is nothing but a threshold that we pass through into the presence of God. That's what it means now. You see, he went to the cross. The King himself went to the cross, giving his life completely for our sins. Completely. Jesus Christ never gave a tithe, by the way. For those of you that say we should be about giving a tithe, I'm glad that Jesus didn't. Jesus gave his whole life so that I could live, so that you could live. He gave his whole life. He's our example. He asked us to do the same for other people. We should be giving our whole life for other people, just as Jesus gave his for us. And I wish I could say that that was a pleasant death, but it's not. The death that he experienced on the cross is not, it was not, by the way, as the Romans planned this out, it was not an execution. A crucifixion was meant to be agonizing. It was meant to last for days. And what finally happens as they hang there on, somebody hangs there on the cross, they get tired of pushing up on the nail that's on their feet. so that they can get a breath in, that they just suffocate. That's what happened. It was meant to be agonizing. It was meant to be long. It was meant to last forever. There are recorded instances where people come and say, can we break their legs so they can't push up anymore so that they'll die today and not hang there for days on end? Agonizing. Besides that agonizing fact, at his crucifixion, three times Jesus Christ was mocked. If you are a king, save yourself. I mean, look at what that happens. Three times they do it. Verse 35, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. If he truly is the King of Kings, can't he save himself? And if he were to save himself, that would prove that he's the King of Kings. Did Jesus need to do that? No. He needed to die so that our sins would be paid for. If Jesus saved himself, our sins would not have been paid for. And there's the religious leaders of the day saying, if he's really the chosen one of God, if he's really the anointed one of God, let him save himself. So three times Jesus Christ was mocked. That's the first time at the crucifixion. The second time is when the soldiers come. And the soldiers that are in charge of doing the crucifixion, there they are around the cross, and it says that they divided up his garments. He was hanging there in humiliation without his garments for everyone to watch. And the soldiers also came to him and brought him wine vinegar. Here, you want something to drink? We'll give you something to drink. My understanding from studying this is the cheapest wine there is possible. The very cheapest. And that's probably all the soldiers got. Here, if you're the King of Kings, let us give you some wine. And they give him the very cheapest, worst tasting wine there is. Instead of giving him wine that's fit for a king. And they too mock him. If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself. And it even says there upon his cross, on a sign above him, it says in three different languages, this is the King of the Jews. And a matter of fact, when that was written and was put upon his cross, the religious leaders came to Pilate and said, take that sign down. And put up a sign that says, he said he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate says, the sign that's there is going to stay there. So even there upon the cross, it's proclaiming that he is the King. And the soldiers are mocking him for that. Two other people, two criminals, it says. We don't know what kind of criminals they were. We don't know what they had done. And one of the criminals hanging next to him says, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. I don't think he said it in a nice way. I think he said it mockingly. He wasn't crying out asking to be saved. He was crying out in mockery. Hey, you say you're the king? You're the Messiah? Go ahead, save yourself and save us while you're at it. And the other criminal says, basically, man, don't you have a heart? Don't you understand what's going on here? Don't you get it? We're criminals. We have done wrong. We deserve to be hanging on the cross. This man, he hasn't done anything wrong. Not the first thing. And he turns to Jesus and he asks him, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." You see, we got three mockeries, and then this criminal says, one of the criminals asked to be remembered when Jesus Christ walked into his kingdom. He said, "Just remember me." He doesn't say, "Get me off the cross." He says, "Remember me. When you come into your kingdom, please remember me." The words that Jesus says next are overall so important. Because Jesus' response was, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." Do you get what you're hearing there? There is no moment of time that this criminal who asked Jesus to remember him, there's no moment of time that he dies and goes into some holding cell for days and years on end. Jesus says, "Today." Today, because you've asked. Today, because you've reached out to me, you will be with me in paradise. You know what that means? That means that this man, even though hanging there upon the cross, in that very last moment of his life, asked Jesus, "Please remember me." And from that moment, when he takes his last breath, his next breath is in heaven. At that moment, it's just a threshold. It's a doorway that he walks through. Yes, he physically dies. Yes, his body is not physically resurrected yet. But his spirit goes with Jesus Christ that day to paradise. Folks, I stand before you and I tell you this. If I were to die in the next 5 minutes, my body would be left here and I would be in paradise with Jesus Christ. Because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because I trusted and continue to trust in what he did for me on the cross, I will be in heaven. As I read my scriptures, a much better place than here, and a much better place than the alternative as I read my scriptures. Because the alternative place, if you don't know Jesus Christ, is separation from God for all eternity. Is that what you want? If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ yet? Separation from God for all eternity. Think about the blessings of God you know this day. No more blessings. The King of Kings died upon the cross for me and for you. The King of Kings took away the punishment of my sin. I don't have to experience that. The King of Kings loved me so much that I get to go from this moment to paradise when I die. One last breath here, and my next breath is in front of my Savior that died on the cross for me, and I finally get to see him face to face. What an incredible moment. Think about it. This criminal got to go to heaven that day. Jesus told him so. This criminal probably is still mocking, caught up within his sin. Yes, his sins were paid for by Jesus, who was hanging next to him. But he didn't accept what the King of Kings did for him. How about you? Have you accepted what the King of Kings did for you? Your king decided to die for you. Your king loved you so much that your king said, "I will lay down my life so that you can have mercy and grace." Your king did that for you. Do you get it? Are you making a commitment to the life that God's asking you to make because of that? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because it's only through that relationship with Jesus Christ that you get to go from your last breath here to your first breath in heaven. It's only through that relationship. Maybe you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you haven't stepped forward into that life. Gosh, how I would love to teach once again what I taught this morning in Principles of Faith about the illustration of the airplane. Gravity has effect on the airplane. I'll give it to you in a little nutshell, and you can ask the folks that were there to give it to you deeper details. Gravity has a great effect on an airplane, doesn't it? But if the airplane gets enough speed moving forward, the law of gravity, in a way, is negated by the law of aerodynamics. And that plane flies. As long as that plane keeps moving forward, if it stops moving forward, what happens to it? It crashes. The law of sin and death was canceled by Jesus Christ. If you accept what Jesus Christ has done for you. And if you move forward in the spiritual life, the law of spirit and life now rules in your life. But if you stop moving forward spiritually, what happens? Go ahead, tell me. You crash. What I'm asking you to think about is, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ giving you assurance of your place in paradise? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Something that you're working on every day. That relationship, folks, will give you an assurance of your place in paradise. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the King of Kings. We thank you for his willingness to give his life completely and totally for us because he loved us and he still loves us. And he still desires to teach us and guide us in so many ways. Lord, I pray for those that are here today that have never started a relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in their heart today that they might start that relationship with you. I pray that they wouldn't wait another day. I also pray for those who have already made that decision, that they would come to a place where they understand they need to take a step forward. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in their hearts today, that they would take a giant step forward in that relationship with you. If it means to come forward and join the church, if it means to come forward and rededicate their lives, if it means to come forward and say, I've walked the wrong path and I will no longer, please pray for me. Lord, may each and every person in this room and who listens across the internet, may each and every one of them accept you as their King today, as their Savior, so that they can have the assurance of a place in paradise forever. Lord, help each one of us to make the decision we need to make today. It's in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray these things. Amen.